look in the table of contents and find Habakkuk. Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, actually was asking quite a question. And we're not really into that question, but in the context, you know, for the sake of context, let's look at what he was really asking the Lord. So you can back up to verse 12 of chapter 1. Well, actually, we'd have to go all the way back to verse 1, but let's just start in chapter 12. Art thou not, verse 12 of chapter 1. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he? In other words, he's saying, how come the wicked are still getting away with what they're doing? How are you allowing this, God? Anyone ever had that kind of a question? You know? And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? In other words, why don't you stop this? That's a good question, isn't it? Why don't you stop it? So then he does what I think is a very wise thing. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am approved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Now, in this case, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just, here's that, one of those first times it says, but the just shall live by faith. He's warning him right here at the outset, if you continue pondering these things, you're going to come to certain conclusions that are erroneous. You're in danger of basing certain judgments about me based on what you see with your eyes. Now, God has a lot to say in His Word about the end of the righteous, at the end of the unjust and what happens to them. But if you only look in this life with these eyes, you might think God is not righteous. You see it? But the just shall live by faith. You're going to have to trust me that Abraham said it this way, shall not the judge of the whole earth do that which is right? He will. Now we could go on with this, but that's not the lesson for tonight. We want to concentrate on this, write the vision. Make it plain. All right? Now again, ultimately, at calling in the lost, and ultimately the mission, everything we do at this church is about going far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival first to this religious city and then to a lot of religious cities. Amen. That's the whole mission. All right. And nobody's arguing with God. We all want the same thing. We see what He says. You know, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Those that believe shall lay hands on the sick. They'll cast out devils, and et cetera, et cetera. Dave's question was, Lord, we all agree with you. We're not arguing with you. But it seems, Lord, like the length of time between us discovering those verses and somehow walking in those verses seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. Hardly anybody ever walks in, other than maybe a smattering of the gifts, you know. What's the deal? That was his question. So Dave, by this message, has basically stood on his watchtower to see what the Lord would answer him. And the Lord sent him down the born-again trail. He said, all of those questions, everything you're asking me is on this trail. And they're in the verses that hardly anybody ever teaches on. So the next question is, well, why don't they teach on them? And he says, well, because they don't know what they mean. You know, and I've been there many times. I'll understand like maybe every verse in a chapter but one. And what do you do when you come to that one? You mumble. Or you give an illustration and pick it up at the verse following. What? I was born yesterday? What? I mean, that's what... You just listen to certain tapes. And yeah, after a while, if you do this a lot, after a while, you'll catch it on so many tapes. Because, they're giving an illustration. But you'll notice what verse they left. And then you notice when they come back, they're down there two or three more verses. They got past that part that they didn't understand. Okay? So, anyway. Well, what God is trying to get us to do, and Michael says for years, I was just talking with him a few minutes before the service, he said those words meditate, the Hebrew word and the Greek word, those captured him years ago. Because there's so much more to it than our English word meditate. Our English word. I still have those in my notes from this morning. All right. Let's do that again. The Hebrew word is haggah. And this is the word that you find in Joshua 1:8, where it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." And we're just using the type and shadow here. I mean, God's put the law in our nature. We don't look outside now. We look inside to the nature of Christ when it comes to that. But see, you could just as well say, this word of God, the word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth. The principle is the same. All right? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Well, that word meditate is haggah, H-A-G-A-H. And it's a primary word. And it means to murmur, like in pleasure or anger, you know. In other words, you can meditate on evil things as well as you can God's things. That's called worry. Oh, murmuring around the water cooler at work. Have you heard the news? I heard there's going to be layoffs. My goodness, we just bought a new car. It's, you know, the boss doesn't, you know, murmuring against, whether it's in business or whether it's in church, murmuring against the leadership. You know, this company would just ask me what to do, we could really prosper here. Or whether it's a church, you know. If Dave would just ever listen to me, I could straighten him out, you know. Or especially at Gary, you know. Anyway. Murmuring, negative or positive. But what this is talking about is always, even under your breath, always be saying, the word haggah carries with it one of the first meanings is to murmur. Whether in pleasure or anger. It means to ponder, like Mary pondered those things in her heart that the angel had said. All right? It means, then when it starts giving definitions in English, the first English word here is imagine. Now, isn't that something? Imagine. Now, see, I don't think that was any surprise to Joshua and Caleb. Because those were the two who went into the promised land. They saw the same giants and the same walled cities and all of the same Hittites, Amorites, and all the otherites that everybody else did. But those circumstances in everybody else's mind painted an image. They imagined that they could not. See, imagined comes from image. What's painted on the inside? Image. And then you imagine. Okay? And well, they saw all of these images of giants and fortified cities and warlike people. So then those images got their imagination going and they saw themselves being defeated and they come to this conclusion, we're just like grasshoppers. We be not able. And when they came to that conclusion, we be not able, they weren't able. They weren't able because they're basing it all on themselves instead of on what God had said. All right, this is all review. Now, Joshua and Caleb, though, even then, when they saw those same circumstances, they saw the same images. They saw exactly the same images, but something caused their imagination to see victory. What was the difference? In Hebrews, it says those that didn't believe said they did not mix faith with that which was spoken. Hold your... Well, we'll come back to Habakkuk in a minute. Go over to Hebrews 3 just for a minute so you can see this. Actually, okay, yeah, we'll start right near the end of Hebrews 3. Starting in verse 18. 17. 16. Okay, 15. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice. What's His voice saying today? See, when is it today? Today. Today, to this church, what is the Lord saying? Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and Tulsa is in revival. That's the word of the Lord. That's the assignment from God that we have here. Amen? So if we don't want to fall by this same process, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Wait a minute, here we are. Yeah, today if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why couldn't they enter in? Now, have you ever noticed this in verse 17 when it says, was it not with those who had sinned? What sin? Fornication? Adultery? The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. I've never seen it so plain anywhere else in the Bible. Unbelief to God is just plain sin. Unbelief. Alright? So verse chapter 4 then, where we're wanting to get this. So, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us. Stop. What promise is ours? Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. That's our promise. And it says, let us fear, lest that promise of us entering into His rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. In other words, the good news. Gospel just means good news. In their case, what was the gospel? I have given you the land. That was the gospel. It didn't profit them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why not? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Well, we've been looking then, and you know, we started this off. They did not know my ways. They always do err in their heart. They do not know my ways. Well, part of that not knowing the ways is this process called faith. The exercise of dominion. Okay? All right. Going all the way back. Go back to Habakkuk. I'm told that's the French definition. Habakkuk, the French pronunciation. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables. Now, that just means tablets. Okay? Today would be, right? Make it, to Dave, he would say, make it clear on the dreaded yellow pad. Or whatever, in my case, he would say, type it clearly on your laptop and then print it out. Okay? In other words, he's just saying, get it. That he may run that reads it. Now, in that case, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Well, there's a lot of things that are set at an appointed time. Like I said this morning, you can fast, you can pray. You're not going to get God to speed up when the Lord's coming again, for example. You know, Jesus Himself said, the hour and the day, even I don't know, that is in the hand of the Father. It's an amazing statement, you know. You can't speed certain things up. But other things that have been freely given to us, like the land, the land, I have freely given you the land. It's ours to possess. You know, I grew up under all kinds of false doctrine, saying things like, well, it may just not be God's will to heal everybody. Trouble is, you got Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Holy Spirit gave me a homework assignment. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See if you can find one time when somebody came to Jesus for healing, now when they came to Him and asked to be healed or even for a friend to be healed or a relative, that they did not get what they came for. Every single one of them got it. Not one time did Jesus say, I mean, if He came to show us the Father, so if that's the truth, that it's just not the Father's will to heal you, that somewhere in there we should see Jesus going, well, I'll heal. You know, He got a line, right? I'll heal you. Yes, the Father heals you. Be healed. Be healed. Oh, it's not His will to heal you. Go on to the next one. Be healed. There's, you know, it's not in there like that. There's nothing like that. Then the other one was, well, the timing of God, you know. You know, and that's even preached today on people that I highly respect and walk in a whole lot more healing anointing than I do. You know, at this point. You know. And they'll tell you, well, you know, maybe it wasn't His will that you get healed in that service. Come to the next service. Maybe it'll be His will to heal you then. Maybe. And He's, well, I think you ought to keep coming, all right? I tell people all the time that if they've really got a serious sickness and they come to this church, I say, if Dave has a line, I don't care if it's for a hangnail. Get in it. Get that anointing coursing through you every opportunity you get, you know. But to say that Jesus, that it's not the Father's will to heal you today, you know, you can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Somebody come to Jesus for healing. And He'll say, well, He wants to heal you, but not today. Come, let me make an appointment with you. Come back, let's say, in August. No, it's this August. Come back in September. You know there's no such thing like that. See? So, what we're talking about is not for things that have an appointed time. Now, what He was really telling Habakkuk, look, their judgment is set. Right now, they're under My mercy. Right now, they're under My grace. I'm dealing with them. Really, He didn't say it quite this way, but this is what He was saying. Listen, their judgment is set for an appointed time. But I have still got hope for them. I'm still dealing with them, trying to rescue them. See? Now, their judgment is set for an appointed time. If they don't repent, you better just live by faith. Trust Me that I know what I'm doing. Amen? But now to carry that over, see, and preachers do all the time. Oh, you know, God works in mysterious ways. That sickness, that illness, that birth defect, whatever it is. Oh, that's just God dealing with you in some mysterious way. And when it's all worked out, you know, in the end, there's God. You know, oh, baloney on that. Jesus has already taken those stripes on His back. He has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, and by His stripes we're healed. It's our land to possess.
Amen.
It's our land. Well, now in the context of here, this revival is our land to possess. God is not withholding it from us. Now, when it comes to right the vision, one of the reasons why we get together on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights to do what we call this calling in the lost, but what we're, in a way, now this is a very simple one, but in a way, these sheets of confessions that we hand out, that we say, that is in a very simplified form, we have written the vision. And anyone that wants to come can get a copy of it, can join in. They can print it and run with us, run this race with us if they want to. But like, well, what is the vision of your church? Well, one of the things that we would say in here is a minimum of 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week. Now, where did we get that? Is that just something that we just came up with? No, God, in the early days, especially 15 years ago, more than once, God prophesied that. He would say that. He would say, this is what I want for your church. Another thing that came at that time was these 500 intercessors. See that next line? It says a minimum of 500 intercessors. We have a minimum of 500 intercessors who are holding up the message that has come to maturity. That came by prophecy more than once. When Dave was teaching that time, and those of you that were here, man, you know, time goes, the older I get, the faster time goes by. Richard, is that the case or not? Am I saying that right? But anyway, my dad says, you know, the older you get, he says, every time I turn around, it's my birthday. He said, didn't we just have a cake last week? You know, I'm finding that to be true. So in my mind, it was a couple of years ago. So that means it was probably 7 years ago. when Dave had a vision of an outpouring of angels. Do y'all remember that? And before that, the Lord had shown him the enemy coming in like underground, like unseen, and taking up his place in many pulpits in this city. Do y'all remember that? That might have been before some of you's time. It may be 10 years ago. I don't know how long it was. So first he saw what the enemy was doing. But then the Lord showed him this vision over and over again of like these angels, like an outpouring of them coming down. And it was God's answer to Satan's strategy. And it was a warfare to be going on in the Spirit. Now that's where that, and then we have gone back through Scripture to verify sentence by sentence by sentence by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Because listen, a lot of visions are from God. A lot of visions are from pizza. Or whatever, you know, chili peppers or something. So this has been distilled, and we still, every now and then, we'll change the phrasing of it just to make sure that it's accurate. But these things have come, they've been distilled down through time and then verified with the written word to do our best to write the vision and make it plain. You notice it's not written in legalese. For example, I remember Zig Ziglar years ago, I heard him say this. He said, a lot of people say they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it. Zig says, honestly, I don't think it's the part they don't understand that's giving them the problem. It's the part they do understand. Like one of these statements we have in here is on page 4. You don't have to look at it, but it just says, so now, Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me. Now, what a statement that is. And I know a lot of people that are, when they first come, maybe they've been hurt really bad, you know. And when they first come, they're holding resentment. So when they first say that the first time, it's like a faith statement, you know, because they know Jesus said, you have to forgive. I remember in a period of time when the Lord had to deal with me on that issue. But I'll tell you one thing, we're not going to have revival without walking in that. We're not going to have it without that. God has got to have a people that's transformed to the image of God. Now, I'm not talking about a gifts revival. We could have a gifts revival again, like has happened so many times, and it'll burn out in just a few months, because without that transformation to Christ, people are going to get self-exalted, puffed up against one another, and it'll be split and divided just like the Corinthian church. And somebody, you know, they'll be running off with the secretary, running off with the money, running off with the secretary and the money. Same old, same old, same old. We're after something different than that. We're after an outpouring that'll not only last in Tulsa till Jesus comes, but that we can take like an Olympic torch, if you'll allow me, take that flame of revival and carry it to Brazil and carry it to Poland and carry it to Korea and on different ones that He'll send out like on fire with this, see? Now, the reason that as a body here, we have done this so that we can all join together. So now again, we are all the body of Christ, and each of us members in particular. I've got a certain part to play. Now, somebody's an elbow. Somebody's, I think Bernard's and Michelle are the brains. I may be an elbow. Daisy's she's the teacher with the 3-foot ruler. No, she's the wrist. No, pray, smack. She retired teacher. But everybody here has got a part to play. I'm so glad that my elbow's not on, either one of them's on vacation this week. I need both my elbows functioning. Right now, I mean, I need them to do what they need to do, right? And so it's the same with the body of Christ. That's why we've got this in a corporate way. But see, really, when this revival comes, each and every person in here, and a lot of them that's not in here tonight, you've got a part to play. I don't know whether you're a big toe, thumb, eyeball. You got something to do in the body of Christ. So, not as He leads us as a body into this, He's got to also speak to all the parts of the body so each of us can find out what we're called to do and find our place and get about doing it. And doing it not in our strength, but doing it in the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, that's why He'll prophesy, and He'll, or in your own private meditation time or in your prayer time, He'll begin speaking to you and leading you step by step, point A to point B, point B to point C, point C to point D, getting you prepared and getting you ready for what it is He's called you in this revival, because He's called you to be something. One thing I've not found, I've searched, I've looked everywhere, pew sitter is not a calling. Well, here it'd be chair sitter. He's called you to do something. So, the first thing is, like we said this morning, whatever words has been spoken to you, like a prophecy, word of knowledge, something that He may have said to you personally, what I mean in your own prayer time, if you haven't already done this, you need to gather those up. Well, first off, get them written down. Get them written down. For years, I don't know if they're still doing it, but for years they had these ministry tapes. And after the service, if He prophesied to you in a line, you could go get that tape. And I know a lot of people had good intentions. Yeah, I'm going to go through there and I'm going to find my part and I'm going to write that down. Yeah, and then that tape went in the shoebox. And then, you know, by this time there might be 20 tapes like that in the shoebox. You need to get the shoebox out. Go back through there and find out what He said to you and capture it some way. Get it on paper, write the vision, and make it plain. Now, once you have it, say, well, Gary, I've lost those, or I don't have them, I can't do it anymore. Write down whatever you can remember. Write it down. And now we're going to teach on this at more length later, but LaRue at his website has got two series right now in that one-on-one. One of them is called The Power of a Sanctified Imagination. The other one is called Spiritual Constitution. And he really does a masterful job. If you want to really go through and like take every word that you have from God, first off, you need to find Scripture. Can you find Scripture to support that statement? Now, let me tell you why it's important. I mean, you know, we're past this kind of stage here, but I've had people that graduated from Bible colleges tell me that God told them that this married woman over here, already married, is their wife. You're not going to find chapter and verse for anything like that, see? That's absolute malarkey. And, you know, it's in the book of malarkey, chapter 1, verse 10. You can look it up later. I mean, I've had them get where the veins are in their... They get so upset at me when I tell them, that's not God. God didn't tell you that. Oh, yeah. And they've been standing on it for years. And I've had them get so mad at me, I mean, the veins in their neck have puffed out. Just, I mean, unteachable. Thank you, sir. Unteachable to the 10th power. Unteachable. I've had people say, oh, God told me not to pay my bills. All my debts are paid. Now, I don't mind you calling your debts paid. But listen, you pay your bills until they are paid. You know? See? I mean, it's crazy talk. You've got to find Scripture for those statements, see? All right? Well, so that's one thing LaRue says. He'll say, now, look, here's help you find Scripture. All right? But then, now, besides finding Scripture, can you find any examples where God's ever done that kind of thing with anybody ever before, like in the Bible? Okay? And so... You can go back and, like, we've already used examples of Abraham in what we're talking about. Gideon is another one like we're talking about. We could go on with many others. David's mighty men. We've used that example already. You know, find examples where God has done this kind of thing before. All right. Then he goes, all right, now can you find anything in more modern history where something like this has happened? Well, you could take Smith Wigglesworth's ministry as one. You could take Maria... Yeah, that lady, Maria Woodworth Eder, powerful ministry that lasted for many years, had lots of manifestations. You know, the Welsh revival and other the Welsh revival is a little. Yeah, I don't know if y'all know this. The Welsh revival was not really a signs and wonders revival. It was a repentance revival. It was a whole lot like the more stronger, but it was more like the Brownsville revival. which is good. I mean, it's really good for God's presence to come and backsliders to repent and people to get saved. And I mean, that's good. But see, the kind we're after is really more like a Book of Acts revival, where they would, like we read all the time. My vision for that, if you want to know my, if I was going to write mine, you know, like LaRue is talking about, one of them that would for sure be in there. Here, well, let's just go. Go to Matthew 15 again. You can't go here too often and carry this vision. Matthew 15. This is just one, but I'd sure have this one in my visions. Now see, LaRue's calling it a constitution, and he got that from the Constitution of the United States, because everything in this country functions based on that constitution. But see, most of us would call it a vision statement. This, you know, it's a vision statement. This is what the Lord has said to me. This is my vision. This is what I see. All right? Well, in mine, if I was writing it, you know, my constitution, giving examples of all these words and everything the Lord said to me, this one would sure be in here. Matthew 15, starting in verse 29. I mean, to me, this is the closest that we have to the vision that God has showed Dave over and over again about this church. What he wants. So Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto Tulsa. And he went up on one of the hills. Can you see what I'm saying? I'm modernizing this. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb. Now don't pass over maimed too quickly. Maimed meaning they came missing a leg, missing an arm, they missing something. Could be an eyeball, could be anything, could be an ear, and many others. And that includes everything that they don't have listed here. Muscular dystrophy, cerebral palsy, birth defects, many others. Things they didn't even have names for, probably polio. God only knows what all. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, my favorite four words in the Bible, and He healed them. How many? As far as I can tell, all of them. Great multitudes. Now, when Jesus fed the multitudes, it says he broke the bread with the loaves and the fishes. They gave us the size of the multitude as 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So somewhere between 10 and 15,000 is a multitude. How much is a great multitudes? Notice, and great multitudes, plural. No telling. This might have been 40,000, 50,000 people. Only, I don't know. Get a picture. Get our imagination working. And the way God showed it with Dave is like, I mean, they had to fix the interchange. It had to happen. They think they did it down here for the shopping center that's coming. They did it for the revival. They just don't know it. But based on the vision that God showed Dave of cars, as far as you could see, just in all directions, and ambulances, and bringing the halt, and the lame, and the blind, and the maimed, bringing them to the revival. And there were all, way too many to fit in here. They were all out in the fields. Can you picture it? Why do you think they've cleaned up this nice field out here? They think they're doing it to bale hay. It's for the revival. They got to be a parking lot. That's right. Get a picture. See? This one would certainly be in my constitution, because I'm telling you, you got a lot of preachers that'll do everything they can just to preach that right out of you. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. That's our vision statement right there. That's as close as you're going to find to exactly what God has said, shown to us here at this church now. All right, so meditate that. What we're going to do that's going to be different now. Yes, sir. Okay, go to that 1 Timothy again. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Again, he says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly, that's wholly, to them, that thy profiting, thy progress, thy advancement may appear to all. Yes. All right, well, meditate now, again, in the New Testament, the Greek word is melito. Is that how you say it? Meliteo? M-E-L-E-T-A-O. And it means to revolve in the mind, to imagine. To imagine. Well, we can use Matthew 15 to imagine and propelled. I wonder what 4 hours spent there. See, because that other, this other phrase where it says, give thyself wholly to them, I kept looking. I went to Strong's first. Their definition just didn't make much sense. And so then I went to, how does Dave say that? The Woost and the Weeks. And I'm just trying to find the definition of what this means. And it wasn't making a clear picture. So finally I got to Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. And he says, the problem is, it's kind of a wrong, it's okay, give thyself wholly to them. Does kind of convey the thought, but the literal translation is, be in these things. Okay, you guys are not supposed to go to those kind of movies. I've been in movies before where I know I'm in a movie. It's air conditioned. My sweetie pie is sitting next to me. We got buttered popcorn. We're comfortable. We know we're safe and secure. Uh-huh. But we're, you know what, it's one of those eat movies, you know, with a slasher, you know. There's a guy with a knife. And you know, and you know how those movies are. See, I'm a very visual type person anyway. I get into movies now. My kids all like to go see scary movies with me because they like to watch how many times I jump, you know. And because I'm one of those. Now, other people may not bother them at all, but I'm into this thing, man. And I know in the movie, now, yeah, I know I'm safe. There's Sue. I love you, baby. We got buttered popcorn and a Pepsi. Everything's fine. But the murderer is behind that tree, yeah. And he's got a knife that long. Yeah. Lady, I'm trying to tell you, don't walk over there. Oh my God! And the popcorn goes. I am in that thing. I am in that thing. That's meditation. It is. It is. I've been in there. I'm in that thing, man. And that, see, there's been times when the Lord had me studying Joshua's war with Amalek years ago. He wouldn't let me out of that passage. I've got so many teachings on Amalek. But at the time, he had me going back to that. And I'd meditate it, and I'd meditate it, and I'd roll it over, and I'd think about it. One day, I literally was in that thing to the point. I mean, have you ever been in a real... I was in high school. I was in real fights where you can taste the blood in your mouth and feel your teeth get loosened, you know? I mean, I've been in real fights. And I was in that fight. I mean, I could taste... You know, when you got guys with swords and shields and a bunch of them fighting like that, I mean, their dust is getting kicked up. It's hot. It's sweaty. I could taste the dust in my mouth. I come out of that one meditation session going, man... I feel like I can taste that. I was in that thing. I've meditated other passages where I'd lose track of time. I'd get over into the story. 2 or 3 hours would go by, and I wouldn't realize it. I'd come out, and especially at the ugly building, it used to happen to me more often because I was, you know, somewhat sensory deprived. You know, well, I mean, there was no telephone, there was no TV, there was nothing to distract me, and I could really get into it, you know. Well, that's the kind of meditation, and that's really what this is talking about when it says, be in these things. Now, here's a phrase that this is going to become a familiar phrase. What's going to happen? See, the devil tries to beat us down with all the wrong images and all the discouragement and all the doubt that every now and then, that's one of the reasons I go to the movies. I'll just tell you the truth. I need a little escape. You know? You go to a movie, I hate sitting next to somebody that says, that ain't possible. Superman flies and they go, that ain't possible. I said, look, buddy, I came here to escape reality just a little while. If I've got enough too much reality already, I'm trying to escape a little bit. Let me let Superman fly, will you? let him fly. I'm going to go with him. When I said, I hate sitting next to a person at a movie that says, that ain't possible, that's not Sue. she enjoyed... No, there's people like that, though, okay? She's not like that. But see, what the Lord's really calling us to do is escape. Here's the phrase. I was meditating on this, that be in these things, and it's just, I heard it. What God's after us to do is escape into truth. Escape into truth. His word. What did Jesus say? You don't have to look it up. John 17:17. Father,
Sanctify them. Set them apart. Set them apart. Sanctify them through Thy truth. And then He says, Thy word is truth. Listen, His Logos word is truth, and His Rhema word to you is truth. Let's escape into that. Let's live there. Let's go to a movie of truth. I know she's done it. Most of y'all know we're contending with them for their eldest daughter, Victoria. No, youngest daughter, Victoria. And it's a birth defect, and we're believing God for a creative miracle. I know she's spent time, haven't you? Spent time talking where she sees this is already done. Talking with her daughter. Her daughter up here giving her testimony of how the Lord healed me. Lynn Perez is another one. She's told me, I don't know how many times I've seen it and played that movie in my mind, where her son would be up here giving his testimony of how the Lord healed him and fixed all of the things that are wrong with him and got him where he could talk. Well, listen, whatever it is He said to you, His word is truth. We need to be in that thing. We got to start living there. Let's go to a movie, all right? Let's escape into truth. Let's spend time. Spend time in the truth, in these things. I'm going to remind you one more time. I was going to kind of cut it short tonight, but I'm going to remind you one more time about Abraham. Now listen, this is really encouraging to me. The man carried the promise. The first time God said it to him was he was 75 years old. Go into a land I'll show you, and we're not going to look it up right now. But in that He says, I will make a great nation of thee. Well, that's the first time. You can't have a nation without having a child from thee. So the first time he received that promise, he was 75 years old. Now, a lot of things happened. Fast forward. We looked at it this morning. When he was 99 years old. Now, I mean, they've already been through the process of trying to help God. I've already been through that myself. That's where most ministries live and die, is programs man's trying to do with man's ability what only God can do. See? All right. Well, thank God David's passed there. You can tell we don't have no programs. Okay? Thank God. Well, we say thank God. Many of them say goodbye because, you know, if they don't have the programs, they ain't staying. That's okay. That's why God's got a lot of churches in town. There's a lot of places, okay? And good, you know. But now, 24 years later, now even the possibility of them helping God is gone. I mean, you talk about no hope. And see, y'all know how many times you've heard me teach out of Romans 4. You guys can, you can quote it as good as I can. He was fully persuaded what God had promised. He was able also to perform. But then, you look at it, at age 99, he's carried the promise for 24 years. And God says, now about this time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby. And I demonstrated it for you this morning. I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah, you did.
Was that good or what? He fell on his face and laughed. Oh, God, you're so funny. You're so cute, God, telling me jokes like this. Sarah's going to have a baby. He certainly wasn't fully persuaded right there. And you'd think, my God, why hasn't it happened for 24 years? We're starting to get a clue. Yeah. But from that moment, as I understand it, I got to work this out. Roughly 1 year later, though, she didn't just get pregnant, she had the baby. Mm-hmm. About a year later. Which tells me,
I like
that. About 3 months?
Yes. Yeah.
Now here the man is fully in unbelief. But something happened with him so that in 3 months, a word, a promise he had carried for 24 years had not come to pass. But something changed on his belief system. Where in 3 months, not just him and Sarah. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And that was, hey, that's something else. That's creative going on. Creative going on in her and him. Abraham got so overhealed that they had Isaac, and then later on she passed on. He married again, had many more babies. Thank God for healing. Glory to God. Just remember that phrase. Meditation really is escaping into truth. All I can tell you, Can you tell I'm excited about this? All I can tell you is to be continued. Hallelujah. All right. Now, tonight, we should always do this. But I know, you know, this is your third service for many of you too, and it's a little warm in here. Normally, we just say the confessions. But really, to do it right, we need to see everything that we say. So to the best that we can, we're not going to go slowly. I mean, to me, that meditation part takes time, you know. But still, as we go through here, when we say 1,000 people born again a week, try and see that. When we say every wheelchair emptied, let's see that best we know how. Amen?